do that engineering. So build the pipelines, run the infrastructure and so on. And analytics engineering, so build the data models on the data warehouse. So the use cases, we have ingesting pipelines, we ingest data from different data sources, we ingest from our internal databases. We have a microservice architecture, we ingest data from more than 20 Aurora databases. We also ingest data from external parties, APIs, file systems, and so on.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, where we unlock the secrets of mastering airflow for data engineering and AI.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis, and today I'm joined by Jamie Oliveira, who is a lead data engineer at Uphold. Jamie, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm good. It's great to have you on. Thanks for joining. Cool. So for today's podcast, we're going to discuss how Uphold uses Airflow and dbt to manage data to support their fintech business. This has been a really popular topic, talking to fintech companies about how they use Airflow. So I'm excited to dive into this. Maybe you can start by telling me just a little bit of background about what Uphold does.
Yeah, sure. So Uphold is a fintech company that serves more than 60 million users. People normally use our platform to trade crypto and also traditional fiat currencies. And we are not only a consumer platform, we also work business to business. We help other fintechs and traditional banks add crypto services to their own products. So basically, they build on our platform to offer crypto services. Let's say, yeah. And we have a very strong engineering and innovation culture. And for us, having a data-driven mindset is really important. And yeah, data plays a really important role here.
Okay, great. And I imagine with a data-driven mindset that your data engineering team is pretty important to your company. So tell me more about what your team does and where Airflow fits in.
Data engineering team, we run all the data stack. We are mainly splitting two main roles, the data engineering, who build the pipelines, run the infrastructure and so on, and the analytics engineering, who build the data models on the data warehouse. So the use cases, we have like ingesting pipelines, we ingest data from different data sources, we ingest from our internal databases. We have a microservice architecture, we ingest data from more than 20 Aurora databases, let's say. We also ingest data from external parties, APIs, file systems, and so on. We also have the transformation layer where we build our warehouse in both, create new tables and give to our teams, because data teams support almost all of Uphold teams. And we have a lot of requests from product team, compliance team, FinOps team, design team. So a lot of requests that we have. And we also support our data science team with supporting the infrastructure to run Jupyter notebooks, some data science pipelines. Yeah, basically that, yeah, I would say.
Okay, great. And how does Airflow fit into all of that?
We use Airflow mainly as our orchestrator for dbt pipelines. We have dbt pipelines and yeah, basically is our main orchestrator. We also use other orchestrator, but not so much broadly. We have some Snowflake tasks for some easily isolated use cases, but mainly Airflow is our orchestrator. Yeah.
Okay, great. And so you're using that orchestration then to provide data to all of the different teams within your business. That sounds really interesting. And I understand that you personally have quite a long history with the Airflow project. Tell me about that and how you first started using Airflow.
My first experience was a few years ago in a banking project where we are creating a enterprise data warehouse on top of Hadoop, and we decide to use Airflow to orchestrate our Hive pipelines. Yeah, it's funny that because nowadays no one seems working with that type of stack, so it's more like, but yeah. And around that time, I also start following Maxim, the Airflow creator, and his posts about functional data engineering was really important for me and helped me to learn and improve my skills about orchestration, pipelines, best practice, and to learn more complex concepts about Snowflake, even deploying in Kubernetes, more features. I don't remember yet, but I have some idea about some resources in Udemy and even in a blog that he had. Yeah, really, really fun. Good times.
Yeah, that's great. Mark is, of course, another host on our podcast. And on my team at Astronomer, I work with him quite closely. So love to hear the shout out there. And that's cool that you were an early follower of Maxim as well. Has your background with the Airflow project, now that you've used it for a while, influenced how you use it in your current role?
Yeah, for sure. And then when we start using Airflow, we start labeling some of the features, and it's really nice to see how the tool has been evolved and grow. And even now that there is more tools, and I think the community is doing a great job. So yeah, I think the beginning was impact for sure in my career.
That's great. I always love to hear stories about folks who have taken Airflow with them from job to job and continue to use it. One of the best parts about open source projects, in my opinion. Cool. Well, I'd love to dig in a little more to how your team uses Airflow and DBT together. You mentioned you use Airflow primarily to orchestrate DBT models. I think this is a really common pattern using these two together. In fact, we were just looking at some results from the Airflow survey from 2025, and DBT was the most frequently cited other tool used with Airflow. So I think you're in good company there. But what made you choose to use these two tools together at your current role?
So Airflow was already part of our pod stack when I joined. And when I joined, the project was to migrate our analytics pipelines to Snowflake. So I proposed to the team to use DBT to orchestrate those pipelines, and using Airflow to do that felt natural. So what was mainly that. And today we run different pipelines based on scope, data points, freshness of, and other requirements. And at this moment, we run them with Kubernetes pod operator, which basically means Airflow starts a container with our DBT project in an isolated way. And it's basically that.
Okay, interesting. I haven't heard as frequently about folks running DBT models with the Kubernetes pod operator. What has been your experience using that methodology, and have you ever considered any other ways of running DBT and Airflow together?
So when we adopt DBT in 2021, we wanted something simple and reliable, and installing DBT inside Airflow felt too heavy for us. We will need to manage packages and versions, and at that time we were still in Airflow 1.10. So the Kubernetes pod operator was a good solution. We could have a Docker image, one clean environment, and no impact in Airflow itself. But it also has downsides, because local testing is harder, Kubernetes adds extra overhead, and also other limitations regarding DBT, the lack of visibility, things like processing a single model or checking the logs is hard. And during this year, we start looking for other solutions like Cosmos. And basically, we did a summer internship where we did a POC with Cosmos, and the first impression was good. And we are thinking on to move to Cosmos.
Yeah.
Because using Cosmos, the way that Cosmos turned a DBT project or a DBT pipeline in Airflow Tech felt very smooth. And yeah, this gives us a lot of other features like reprocessing, better logging. And Airflow is released some new features regarding backfill and so on. This is something that we are very eager to test and use. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, creators of Astro, the leading fully managed Airflow service designed for the modern data stack. Whether you're orchestrating large language models, implementing a data mesh architecture, or streamlining complex workflows, Astro empowers your team to focus on innovation, not infrastructure. To see how you can maximize Airflow's potential within your data ecosystem, visit www.astronomer.io.
At this stage, it sounds like you've concluded the proof of concept of using Cosmos and you like it, but you haven't yet migrated to it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a lot of projects going on and yeah, it's in our to-do list.
Got it. Is the lift of migration the only thing keeping you from moving to it right away? Or I'm curious to hear a little bit more detail about what your experience was like during that Cosmos POC.
From what I remember, we have some issues testing the Kubernetes mode. And for us, it's very important to have the full picture how we could test locally and the process to deploy our DAG. We want to improve our development experience, the way that we test DAGs and deploy them. And we want to leverage the Kubernetes execution mode that Airflow allows. So, yeah. And the POC was during a summer internship. So basically we did that and we stopped and now we need to pick it again and allocate some resources on that project.
Got it. That makes sense.
And also at that point, I know that we also have some problems with the documentation, but we noticed that I think was Astronomer released a new ebook about the DBT deployments and DBT different ways of running inside of or be orchestrated inside that flow, and we want to check it because that could have nice tips and ideas to improve our exercise, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you called that out. That ebook was written by someone on my team. So requests for more Cosmos documentation are really frequent in the community because it is a really powerful tool. And I think one that lots of people like using for DBT and Airflow together, but it's quite complex to set up, especially figuring out how to run it effectively and the execution mode you choose and the things that you've touched on. So yeah, our hope with that was to create a more comprehensive resource that would help people get started with it.
For sure.
Yeah, we'll link that in the show notes definitely in case anybody else is interested.
I read some pages and seems really good, the content and how descriptive was the materials. Yeah, I think it is really nice to check it for those that are hearing us.
We appreciate hearing that. I'm also curious. You mentioned right now you're using Kubernetes pod operator to run DBT, and that pattern originated when you were on an older version of Airflow. Is that something that you do in your other Airflow DAGs as well? So ones that might not necessarily be using DBT? Are you one of those companies that, you know, lean very heavily towards Kubernetes pod operator for everything?
No, we only use Kubernetes operating for DBT pipelines. We also have some pipelines running using Snowflake operator, Postgres operator, and others with sensors and so on. But we only use the Kubernetes pod operator for DBT pipelines at this point. We had a pipeline of a data science pipeline that we also use at Kubernetes pod operator, but we deprecated that.
Okay. Got it. So that's like only in cases where you're dealing with some pretty heavy package management and things like that.
But also because at that time, the version that we are using when we start our project with DVT doesn't have much compatibility, and we don't have a DVT operator. So a one that we could leverage, and we decided to use Kubernetes Pod Operator and control everything, the secrets that we ingest, the image, the pipelines that we run, and yeah, but that drawbacks for sure. As I mean, now that our DBT project is growing, we are feeling some downsize on that, and yeah, we need to change that.
Yeah, I imagine it gets quite unwieldy to manage. Yeah. Kubernetes Pod Operator is not a straightforward implementation a lot of times. Well, thank you for talking through all of that. It was really interesting to hear. I'm excited to check in with you at some point down the road and see how your migration to Cosmos has gone once you get around to it. Jamie, I always like to end these episodes with a standard final question for folks, and that is, what would you most like to see from the Airflow project in the near future?
So, now that we have DAG versioning, I think I would like to see a more interactive UI, something more dynamic, almost like a canvas, where we can design or build and adjust our DAGs directly in the interface. Maybe even something like Figma. I don't know if everyone knows Figma, where teams collaborate, comment, and build together. Yeah, I think will be really nice to have something like that for us.
Interesting. So more of a GUI for building DAGs instead of writing the code, or just an interface to write the code in the UI and collaborate with people more.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Both would be that it's not easy and depends and during the development phase and promote to production. But I think nowadays that we want to bring the analytics engineering to be more autonomous, so they have the capability to build pipelines with DBT and other stuff. So turning the process to orchestrate those pipelines more easily, I think will be nice.
Yeah, interesting. I think that totally makes sense. I know the open source project has always been very against any method for creating DAGs other than writing code, which I understand why it's part of the ethos. It's also, I think, something Astronomer has spent some time on. We have an IDE, at least for writing DAGs in the UI. At this point, you're still writing code or using the AI to help you write code, but are definitely looking into ways for just to make it a little easier for people who aren't quite as familiar with Airflow to do more of a plug and play for like those common patterns that you might have where it is more analytical or you're just running a DBT model or a SQL query or something like that. So I think you're not alone in wanting something like that. Jamie, this has been really great to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us. Just to close out, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
LinkedIn is the best way.
Okay. Great. Well, we will put links to that in the show notes. And thank you again for coming. It's been really great speaking with you.
Thank you for inviting me. Really nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.